Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So I want to ask you all a question. For this Advent season, as we're kind of heading to Christmas, what are you most excited about? What are you anticipating, or what do you hope for this Christmas? Go ahead and say it out loud. Peace. Very good. We all hope that peace happens. That's always a big thing. What else? What? Good health. Yes. Being healthy is also a very good thing. What else do we are we excited about, do we hope for, or do we anticipate this Christmas? A white Christmas. Who said that? Glory. That's great. Yes. Yes, very much so. White Christmases are always great. What else? Family. Even crazy Uncle Joe, right? We want him to be there as well. Family's always a good thing. What else? Time off work. Can I get an amen? Amen. Very good. What else? What else? What are some other things we're excited about? Anticipate. Fun, right? Very good. Food. Who said that? Good job. Yes, very good. At the early service, this lady said, Christmas breakfast, and I asked what it was, what she had, and she said they do gingerbread pancakes for breakfast. I'm like, yeah, we're going to all show up there. It's Amy Emery's house, everybody. Amy Emery. Yeah, and yeah, wearing PJs, that's always good. Yes. What else? What are some other things that we're excited about? Jesus' birth. Right. Exactly. Jesus' birth. What else?
Decorating.
What? Decorating. Yes, decorating. No one's getting to the really good one yet. What else do we get excited about? Presents. Yes, of course. We love presents, don't we? Now, there's something that I anticipate each year that I get really excited about. It's a gift that I expect each year. And a gift that there's one time in the last 20 years I did not get this. I got angry Christmas morning. Now, it's not something that you all should be purchasing for me. It's something that I either purchase or that someone really close to me purchases on Christmas Day. And she knows exactly what it is. What is it?
Socks and underwear.
Socks and underwear Christmas morning. I expect that to be there. It's something that I anticipate, something that I get super excited about. You all better not buy me any of this, right? That'd be very awkward to purchase your pastor. Yes, I know. I just asked for it, right? Get big stacks of it. But I have to say, there are things that we anticipate, things that we get excited for about Christmas, things that we get excited for when we kind of go to that Christmas morning and we're either cooking or there's family or friends or socks and underwear underneath of your tree. All of those things are great. I'm going to invite you now to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, with me. Because we're going to talk about anticipation this morning. We're going to talk about hope this morning. Isaiah chapter 11. Now, this is a scripture that we preached on last year and about this time, and it's one of these scriptures that is so powerful. And so I try to do some different things with this year, so maybe you'll catch a little bit of a different glimpse about what Isaiah is saying. Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to look at the first 9 verses. Isaiah chapter 11. Bless you. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Okay, hear that? A shoot will come up from the what? Stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear what? Fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest in him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear in the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees by his eyes, nor decide what he hears with his ears. But the righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child would put his hands into the viper's nest. Neither will they harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's pray. God, we understand that hope is such a tough thing for us. Hope is something that we desire, something that we wish for in our lives. However, for so many, hope is elusive. God, help us to recognize the hope that you have in our hearts. Help us to see how you grant us hope through the peace, purpose, and power of Christ. Help me, help us to see the hope that is found in Jesus. Amen. Looked up in the dictionary, the word anticipation. You know what it said? To anticipate. Very healthy. Thank you, Webster's. So anticipate in the dictionary means to regard something as possible, to expect, or to predict. That's a great word for us today. This morning we begin our time by celebrating the birth of Jesus. While I would argue that the birth of Jesus and celebrating the birth of Jesus is a great thing, what I find even greater is not the birth of Jesus, but the reason why he came. As we enter into this Advent season, I want to encourage each of you to celebrate this time, of course. But while you're keeping one eye on the cradle and celebrating Christmas this season, I also want you to keep one eye on the cross as we go through this season. Now, have you ever wanted something so bad? I mean, really, really wanted it. Now, while I was in high school, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and so I took a gap year. I guess that's what they're calling it now, between high school and college, and I decided to go into BVS. And while I was there, I was called into the ministry. It was a time in my life in which I had no clue what I was going to do. I didn't know if I wanted to go to school or if I just wanted to stop and just get a job and just begin my life then. I was tired. I was frustrated. I was angry with the hand that I was dealt for my life at that point. In fact, there were times in which I thought, what in the world am I doing? I'd gotten to a point of not expecting anything good to happen in my life. I got to a point of not expecting God to show up anywhere, shape, or form. I was not anticipating anything in my life. I had no hope. Have you ever been that way in your life? Unable to do anything because you're just sitting there, just so solid, not wanting, not unable to see anything that was coming down the path in your life. When I received that call, something changed in my life. Something clicked in my life. And at that point, I began to have purpose and direction and a hope for the future, a hope for what God was going to be calling me to. I began to anticipate something wonderful happening, being used by God to fulfill his purpose. You see, anticipation is a major driver for us emotionally. When we anticipate something, whether it's something that God is doing in our life or starting a new job or purchasing a house or going to a new school, these things within us create energy and excitement. It creates something that we get so moved by that we cannot help but to keep our eyes focused forward. When we get excited about something, anticipate something in our hearts and in our lives and our spirits, we quicken. Our mind races, our spirit leaps for what might be. Anticipation and a hope for the future is something that we all want, something that we all desire in our lives. And so with that concept of anticipation, we're going to look at Isaiah this morning. The people in Isaiah's time were having a rough go of it. Right, they were struggling and they were turning away from God. However, even in the midst of their struggles, God desired to give them hope for what was to come. And it was just this word of hope that the people desperately needed to hear. The words Isaiah wrote about this dry-looking stump with a green shoot out of it is what they needed to hear. You see, the Israelites felt hopeless and in despair. The words Isaiah wrote told of the despair and proclaimed that the door to the future, that there was hope and it was not shut, that there was an opening of hope in the future. There may yet be some glimmer of hope, some door of hope that the Israelites could go through. The reality is that when all hope is gone, the spirit is gone, and a person can spiritually die. With hope completely gone, there is no life. And perhaps that's what Isaiah felt, that there's no hope and no life when he prophesied about this stump of Jesse. I mean, 3,000 citizens of Jerusalem, including King Jehoiakim, the queen mother, the city's leading officials, had been deported as captives to Babylon. Turmoil continued 11 years later when Judah took the final blow and Jerusalem was captured and destroyed after suffering unspeakable hardship at the ruthless hands of the Babylonian army. It was late in the life and the ministry of this aged prophet, and Isaiah searched on the horizon for some sign from God that the Messiah was coming patiently and sometimes not so patiently. He would wait for a divine occurrence that would change the world, that would change his life. He watched with deep longing for that hints of a future hope. And the years of waiting became to grow long. The prophet grew old. The possibility of giving up hope had no doubt crossed his mind. Yet Isaiah continued to watch and wait, all the while proclaiming more eloquently than any other prophet the messianic hope that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come. In lavish poetry, Isaiah wrote of a time when hope was restored, when wars would cease, when the unblemished age of Jesus would begin, the Messiah would begin. He spoke of a world of righteousness, and he declared that people must not give up hope. Now, we need to realize that Isaiah might as well have reached the end of his rope, the end of his hope. See what I did there? It's good. That's good stuff. He might as well have closed his prophetic mind, laid down his responsibility before an unseemingly responsive God, and said, "Too many years, God. Too many years without a single sign," he could have said. "I've wasted my breath proclaiming this messianic hope, and it never shows. There's never a glimmer of possibility. I give up. I quit. Get yourselves another prophet who will make you feel better. I'm all out of words. I'm completely out of energy, utterly out of hope." Have you felt that way in your life? Utterly out of hope. At the end of your rope, at the end of your hope, the end of the time in which you're just needing to get one more thing done, that you just don't have that strength anymore. Have you been in a space where you've been anticipating something wonderful happen, only to be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? I know I have. I can imagine you have. But somehow, friends, Isaiah's hope must have kept him going. His anticipation of God doing something kept his heart and his head and his spirit in tune with God's, because he never quit speaking about the coming Messiah. He never gave up hope, even though his prophecy was born out of intense anguish of his soul. The prophet fully expected the coming of the Messiah to happen in his day. How could he have known that the fulfillment of this glorious and wonderful future he longed to see wouldn't happen until 7 centuries later? Could it be that even the aged prophet who spoke so gloriously of Israel's hope at times felt the despair of feeling that all hope was gone? Friends, many people live in utter hopelessness. For multiples of people, and maybe some of you even here in this room, people that you and I see every single day, hope is lost. And when one is left without any hope at all, that person is left standing helplessly in dead dreams. I'm not painting for you a very glorious Advent picture, am I? No angels promising, miracle happenings, no brilliant star in the sky, you know, lighting a place to a path of promise, no new birth that wondrously shatters the natural order of things, no fresh renewal of hope in hearts and that have, of people that have endured a year full of disappointments after disappointments after disappointments. There is so much more disappointment in our hearts, friends, than there is hope. My guess is that you probably haven't seen an angel in Advent season yet, have you? Nor have you noticed any kind of unusually bright star in the sky. As far as I can see, the hopelessness of people I know has not been shattered by a renewed sense of hope this season. Not yet, anyway. But this is Advent. This is the season when hope can rise within us as fresh as the morning dawn. It's the season for shouting, "Don't give up hope yet." right? There is more to this life than meets the eye. There's more to this situation that meets the eye. If we are seeking anything from Advent, anything other than crowded malls and full parking lots with harried shoppers, if we're searching through anything of Advent at all, we are counting on the fact that hoping can really lift our spirits, fill our hearts, and drench our souls with the love of Christ. Amen? We are all counting on the fact and anticipating that God is going to do something new in our lives. Are we anticipating the fact that God is ready to move in our hearts, in our families, in our church, and in our world? Do you want something meaningful in your life? Do you want something powerful to connect to? Not just the ho-hum of the season that can leave us more drained than energized, but getting to the deep meaning of the season of Jesus being here. Do you want to anticipate that this is the season that God will do a new thing in your life and take you on a new adventure to glorify His name? I mean, I do, friends, and I get excited and filled with anticipation. Not about socks and underwear. No, I do get excited about that. But that God is going to do something new in my life, more than what I could ever hope of or possibly dream of. Not just for this season, but for each and every day. But that's tough, isn't it? It's tough to see the hope. It's tough to anticipate something great happening because we struggle so much. It's tough to see the hope and be excited about and anticipate what's happening because there are so many things going on in our lives. I mean, think about it for a second. What attacks your hope? Illness? Family turmoil? Grief? Rejection? Unfortunately, hope does not kick in all by itself, demolish all of our trouble, and make us instantly feel better. Hope, and holy and divine hope, is a gift from God, and it enters our despairing places and weaves together our broken pieces in our lives in new and unexpected ways. Hope sees what we can't readily see. Most of all, hope learns and discerns every despairing moment in our lives of our past and unyieldingly refuses to let us view our past as a complete loss. Right in the middle of all that hype in the touts of Christmas is the happiest time of year. Millions of people dwell in their own reality that contrasts Christmas feasting with poverty and hunger, or lavish Christmas gifts with people who don't have enough money to buy gifts at all. How stark a contrast between a family feast filled with love and scenes that are such the opposite, a family table with an empty chair that screams of a painful absence, or a family celebration sparked with a family strife. Sometimes this season isn't the happiest season of all. Now, you and I, well, we probably cannot shout exuberant words of hope from the rooftops and promise everyone that hears us that their hopes and their fondest dreams will be fulfilled. This Advent season will still find homeless shivering in the cold and children struggling with family violence and people coping with profound loss. In this world, it's difficult to shout words of hope, isn't it? It's difficult for us to tell other people to anticipate something when their lives have been struggling all year long. But perhaps, even in the middle of what might seem so hopeless, perhaps you and I have been chosen and anointed by God to proclaim His hope to a humanity in despair. Perhaps you and I have been chosen to pray over these people and to never lose hope. Perhaps we have been anointed by God to proclaim God's astounding hope to a world that is bowed down in sadness. When every person that says, "I feel hopeless, I've given up hope," perhaps we are the ones who are saying, "You are not alone. And that God loves you, and we love you. And you have something to look forward to. You have something to anticipate. And you have a hope in the future. Because God is there, and God is here." Like I shared earlier, when this sense of anticipation is lost, the spirit within a person dies, and it's this picture of this lifeless stump that describes the human soul and the human heart. But see, Isaiah cannot let go of that. Isaiah uses an unusual Hebrew word for the stump of Jesse. The prophet does not describe a dead and rotting tree stump. Isaiah prophesies a stump that remains and survives after a tree has been cut down, a stump injured by the axe, yet not utterly destroyed. The roots are not lifeless. The stump that looks dry and barren above ground holds a secret treasure underneath of the ground. A dead-looking stump does only seems dead. In due time, though, all will see the miracle of the sprout. The gray bark will show signs of a vibrant green, and the glossy leaves will begin to grow out of a stump that seemed completely dead. And so I proclaim to all of us this morning that while you may be injured, you are not utterly destroyed. That while you may be lost, friends, indeed, you are found. And you may think the future looks bleak, but wow, friends, you need to anticipate God doing something new in your life because God is on the move, amen? And friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, the life that seems barren and without hope may hold an underground miracle of roots alive. And I declare to you, on this first Sunday of Advent, this Sunday of anticipation and of hope, that just when all the hope seems used up, just when we stop anticipating the miracle in our lives, there's a wonder and mystery within that promises a renewed sense of our life and hope. Isaiah had a clear vision for that kind of miraculous but hidden hope. Isaiah had a clear vision of the hope that Israel so desperately needed. Isaiah had a clear vision of the Messiah that hope would bring a promise to their desolation. He wrote with faith and hope that a shoot would emerge from the stump of Jesse, that a righteous branch would grow from its roots. Hope, when all seems lost and dead and hopeless, there is hope nonetheless. Perhaps that's why Isaiah is such a credible and expressive prophet of Advent's anticipation of what's to come, because he never saw Jesus in his lifetime. He knew the anguish of unfulfilled expectations. He knew, like we know, the agony of waiting and hopelessness and helplessness. But if we're honest, friends, if we're true, can we be really honest here today? We mask this in our spiritual walk as well. We put on our happy faces of hope, and we talk about the anticipation of the movement of the Spirit in our lives, but we really don't experience it. God wants to move, but we're not in tune enough with His Spirit to know when He's talking to us or encouraging us to move in a direction. God wants to grab a hold of our lives, but we're the ones who want to be in control of all of it, making sure that we get things done in the way we want to get them done. And all this we do with this mask of Christmas, this mask of Christianity, the mask of acting humble and spiritual. Friends, it's easy to show up in church and to smile, to shake a hand, and talk about the real meaning of Christmas. It's easy to frown when people talk and their pride and materialism flows through them. I believe that most people are looking for a religion that makes them feel good about themselves. Oh, I love the way he preaches, right? I always feel good for the week. Or I love the way that she shares from her heart. She always makes me feel good about myself. Is that what we're to look for in our discipleship? Our connection with God, our connection with others, our connection with the church. Are we desiring to go deeper, to seek out the deep truths of the faith and how they connect with our everyday lives? Do we not desire to see God move in and through each of us, our families, and yes, our church? Do we not anticipate Him being here any longer? Do we not anticipate His movement in our lives anymore? In a speech made in 1863, Abraham Lincoln said these words: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with broken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. We are no longer looking for what God is calling us or telling us to do because we have become too complacent with what we are doing and who we are right now. It feels good to, and I'd say it feels pretty comfortable to stay in this space, to not anticipate what God's going to do, because anticipating means that something will change. Because we're dealing with God, who is steadier than us, who is more loving than us, who is stronger and wiser and filled with a joy and a hope that we cannot comprehend. And if we anticipate Jesus coming, God doing a new thing and the Spirit moving, we need to be ready for it to actually happen. Friends, we need to be anticipating and anticipate what God is going to do next in our lives, in our church, in our family, around the world. And friends, God is on the move. Do you sense that in your own life? Do you feel that in your own life? Do you desire that in your life? Do you anticipate God moving in your life? Do you hope that God moves in your life? Listen to these words from Luke, our companion text this morning. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him sped throughout the surrounding country. He began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom. And he stood and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled it back up, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and all of the eyes of the synagogue were on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus, the Son of God, his anointed Son, sat in front of the group and told them that he was God's son, and they still didn't believe him. They had been anticipating the coming Messiah for 700 years. They had known Jesus had performed miracles. His preaching reflected the glory of God. And still, they did not see him. They did not know him. They did not believe him. I pray, friends, that as we anticipate God doing something wonderful in our lives, that as we hope for renewal in our hearts, I pray that we don't miss the voice of Jesus saying, "It's me. I'm right here. I'm ready to give you everything. Give you the hope that you've always wanted, the love you've always wanted, the peace you've always wanted. I want you to follow me, because when you follow me, something amazing is going to happen in your life." For friend, Jesus is here right now waiting for each of us to follow him. So what are you anticipating this morning? What are you hoping for this Advent season? Seek God. And allow the stump that has controlled your life for so long turn into a strong tree again, sprouting up a hope and a joy and a peace and a love in your life that this world cannot give, neither can it take away. For God does not want us to be people who are just going through the motions. God doesn't want us to be a people who are just getting by. God wants to do something amazing in our lives, something wonderful that we cannot help to shout aloud the praises of God, celebrating his faithfulness and his glory and his majesty. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much for who you are and who you call us to be. We thank you, Lord God, for this time of year that helps us maybe push the reset button on our hearts and maybe allows us a little bit more to focus on who you are and who you call us to be. Yeah, God, it's great to anticipate the fun things of the season, being with family and friends and gifts and music and lights and decorations. All of those things are wonderful, God. But God, may we invite you even deeper into our hearts. May we come to worship. May we wake up each morning. May we go to work. May we go to school with an anticipation that you are going to do something awesome in our lives. God, may we have that hope that you are walking with us and encouraging us along this journey. God, may we have that joy that only you and you, Lord God alone, will continue to celebrate your love, your peace in our lives through your Son, Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.